And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Ever since I was a small child, one of today's parables apparently made a deep impression on me. When I was very little, we had a Sunday school lesson about the woman and the lost coin. Now, I didn't know at that time that the coin was really her dowry, that little the band that you have around your head with the coin, so that it was very important that she'd lost a tenth of her retirement, as it were. But anyway, the teacher explained the story, and then she gave each of us a bright, shiny penny to remind us of the story. Well, I went home that Sunday after church and looked at my mother and took the bright penny and threw it on the floor and said, "Mommy, sweep, sweep." She didn't particularly appreciate my enthusiastic reenactment of the parable. Now, we're going to have, during this Trinity season, a lot of parables of our Lord. I was talking at the synod with a fellow priest, and he said he always found it hard to preach on the parables. Trinity Tide was just the difficult season of the year. Well, I think that part of our problem is that we take the parables as simple allegories and don't pay much attention to them. We figure that we know what's going on with the story, and okay, got that. Let's go on to something else more interesting. I tend to think of the parables more as stories that we need to plumb the depths of, that we need to look at and each time see perhaps something more, something new, as it applies to us in our particular circumstances. Maybe it's just I've also been studying Oriental things so much that I just think of these as one of those things that some Oriental sage says to bewilder the people around. But our Lord said he spoke in parables so that hearing they might hear and not understand. And I think that's too often what happens to us. Now, today's parables are a set of two, the first two of a set of three in St. Luke's Gospel, all making apparently the same point: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. And you could look at it and say, well, if you didn't get it the first time around, here are two more tries to get the point across. But I think that we might look at the parables very carefully and notice the differences between them. Now, I'm not going to talk about the prodigal son. We get that later in the Trinity season. But let's just think about this lost sheep and this lost coin. And the first thing that perhaps strikes us is there are some significant differences in the story. The coin didn't wander off on its own. It didn't go, you know, sort of, that looks interesting, that looks interesting, and just kind of go on its own way. The coin, whatever was holding it, broke. The coin rolled off, landed in the dust, while the sheep presumably just sort of wandered, strayed, paid attention to everything else except where the rest of the flock was going and what the shepherd told it to do. So we have then two distinct ways of being lost, two distinct ways of being where we shouldn't be. The sheep, obviously, traditionally sheep are not the most intelligent of critters that we domesticate. And it probably, just got interested in something and then something else and then something else. Rather like a small child that just can get very involved and sort of wander if somebody isn't restraining it. And yet, the shepherd leaves the other sheep all safely in their enclosure and goes hunting for the lost sheep and picks it up and presumably comforts it, takes it back, and here's where you're supposed to be, here's the rest of the flock, now please pay attention and stay there. The lost coin is rather different. It seems to be the victim of circumstance. It lost whatever was holding it on the band of other coins. Once it was lost, it didn't wander. It was just perhaps hidden by a little dust. Now, don't think that she was necessarily a bad housekeeper. Certainly, in this area, we understand that even when you keep your house fairly clear, there are dust storms, and you have to do a lot of cleaning up. And in this case, the woman lights a candle to help her see. There is a light there that is piercing the darkness, the things that might be hiding the coin. Well, I'd like to suggest two things. One, that whenever you're reading one of these parables, you don't just take the nice surface meaning as if, this means this, and this means this, and this means this, and got it. First of all, read the story. Let God use the story to speak to you in your life and in your circumstances. For you find, if you do that, that each time these parables have new and perhaps deeper or certainly appropriate meanings for the circumstances. Now, I'd suggest that in this case, with these two parables, one right after the other, they do say something in terms of the two different ways that we may find ourselves forgetting God, moving away from God. With the lost coin, we sometimes find that the circumstances just overwhelm us. We feel that I've lost my hold on everything, I just can't cope. Or as someone I know closely once said, I wish God didn't have such confidence in my ability to bear burdens. But we do. We all of us have these times where it's too much, Lord. It's just too much. And God gives us the candle the light of his word to comfort us, to encourage us, to assure us of the victory, so that we can, with joy and gladness, go forward, even in the midst of sorrow, even in the midst of dreadful circumstances. This day, throughout the world, there are small communities of Christians worshiping in secret, in fear, not knowing what will happen. But despite the circumstances, persevering and understanding the love of God in Christ and the victory of Christ over sin and death, that Christ is victorious. Not Christ will be victorious, but Christ has conquered. He is victorious. And all those clouds of dust that are obscuring God for us are merely to be dispersed by God's work. All he asks is that we trust him. One of my favorite sayings has, over the last few years, has become one of often quoted from Mother Basileia. Lord, I don't understand you, but I trust you. And this is important, for trust is not a matter of understanding and having everything all perfectly clear. Hello. You go, speak from my own experience, you go to a physician, we seem to be going to a lot of them of late, and maybe he'll try to explain, and you know, in terms that are accessible, what's wrong with you and what's going to happen. But if you understood all the ins and outs of the situation, you wouldn't need to go to the physician. We trust people when we don't understand them. And then we look at the lost sheep. We have erred and strayed. We have followed too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. You see, there's also this problem that we don't just sometimes get crushed by circumstances. We get distracted. We allow things to distract us, to lead us astray. Have you ever, maybe as a child, certainly not as a mature adult, had a bit of a tummy ache from that, just one more bite of this? Just, you know, it tastes so good. I think just a little bit more. And you don't really stop when you should, and all of a sudden you are going, oh. Now, I know, you're all much too mature. You've never overindulged in desserts or special dishes or anything. But you may remember, or at least maybe you've seen a kid that did this. You know, it's just you get distracted by something that's right there and right present. When you try to have a regular time every day for prayer, it is remarkable the way the devil will start. This comes up, and this comes up, and this comes up. One church I was in, there was a woman of a certain age who claimed that the telephone was the devil's invention. because whenever she prayed, tried to pray, the telephone would always ring, and she just had to know what it was and had to answer it, and then would forget to get back to her prayers. And so she was sure that, the telephone had been the work of the devil. But that didn't mean she got rid of it. We often get distracted, sometimes by good things. It's not that it's always bad things that are turning our attention away. St. Augustine says, the good can be enemy of the best. You can be looking at a beautiful sunrise and get so focused on the beauty of the sunrise that you forget to praise God for his works in nature. So like the silly little sheep, you just wander from this to this to this and forget. But God doesn't forget you. He comes seeking you, however much you've wandered. And now, let's just think about the two stories. The woman brings light to shine on the coin. You remember the pictures of shepherds? They have a crook. And a crook is to grab, help, bring back the wandering sheep. It can be a little subduing sort of getting the sheep's attention. It's used also to fight off predators who are attacking the sheep. But that nice curve at the beginning is just, whoa. It's, I'm here. It's time for you to come this way. And so God illumines our heart with his word. God sometimes has to get our attention when we've been distracted. But in both cases, it's God's love. He comforts us. He picks up the coin and shows it with joy and gladness. As the shepherd tells everyone, I've got all 100 of them. And so there are two ways God may be working in your life. He may, with what I hope is your regular Bible reading, be showing light on your path. And he certainly is using the circumstances of your life to draw you closer to him. For you see, the fundamental message in both parables is that God has come to save that which was lost. The incredible message of salvation, that on this little dust spot in our modern view of the cosmos, things went terribly wrong. Yet God so loved the world that he came down to suffer, to die, to rise again for our salvation. And whether we are sheep who have just carelessly wandered, or whether we're coins that have been overcome by the dust of circumstances. God has come for us so that we may, with everlasting joy, enter into his courts with praise.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.